Gracias por volar en la aerolínea Aria de Phil Henry. Estaremos volando a una altitud de 30,000 pies. Oh, y también Green Card.
Hi, Phil Henry here at 1-800-449-8686. Well, baseball just about to come to a close for the 99 season. 3-1 Yanks, bottom of the eighth, is it, Mike? God don't love the Braves. I'm not saying I don't. I'm not saying that I do, but that's obviously that's an idea. They got to go back to the drawing board with that team. Three World Championships for the Yankees in the 90s. The Braves copped one. There's Bobby Cox on TV right now. He can't figure. I never know. When you look at a guy who's quiet and very somber in the dugout and his team's winning, you think he's a master strategist? And he's just sort of, he's computing what his next move is. But if they're losing, he just looks like another dumb guy sitting in the dugout. He doesn't know what he's doing, right? I remember I used to look at Lasorda. When they were winning, he looked like he was just sitting and sort of picking his moves and who was he going to bring in, and he was a master strategist. He was moving the guys around. But when they were losing, he just looked like a dumbass sitting there. Come on, do something. Get up and jump up and down. Come, look like you care. Look, you know, I don't know. And everybody has been weighing in on Pete Rose. This thing that started the other night is just a simple interview with Jim Gray, who is known for NBC Sports. Jim Gray is known for his very hard-hitting interviewing style. As a matter of fact, if you saw the Holyfield-Tyson fight, and right after that thing, Mike Tyson has just bit a man's ear off, and Gray is standing there, so are you an asshole or not? I mean, he asked the question, you know, he knew that anything could happen, but there's little Jim Gray, who doesn't look like he's, what is he, 90 pounds soaking wet? He looks like a very slightly built little guy, but he's a ballsy interviewer. He lays it out there, he asks the questions, and Tyson looked like he was going to go off on him. 4-1 Yankees, we just got the word. So anyways, I was saying, going to be quiet in Buckhead tonight. Jim Gray is a great interviewer. The other night, he lays into Rose. I guess it wasn't cool. People didn't dig it. He was being honored. The fans love him. Let me tell you a little bit about Pete Rose, having grown up in Southern California, watching the Dodgers play through the 70s. We used to be out in the right field pavilion back when I was a real piece of crap. I mean, if you think I'm bad now, I was just, you know, I was a 20-year-old scum, sitting out there in the right field pavilion at Dodger Stadium, throwing crap at Pete Rose. Throwing garbage on him as he played out in right field. Now, I don't know how many positions he played in his major league career. I think he was a first baseman, third baseman, and he played the outfield, right field, I believe. I'm sure either that or was no wonder they cut off the Dodger beer sales out there, but I think it was right field. And we hated him. Everybody did. New York, the Mets fans, Shea Stadium, they used to shovel the garbage on top of old Pete. Great ball player. But the guy bet on baseball. Now, they got a sign. I don't know if you're aware of this. Some of you probably don't know what this is all about. There's a sign that hangs in a clubhouse. It says, you can't bet on baseball, and that means you, Pete. That's a sign right there in the Cincinnati Red clubhouse. You may not bet on baseball, Pete. And he went ahead and did it. So they threw him out of the game. Now, that's the rule of the game of baseball. People say, well, there's all kinds of dirtbags to get into the Hall of Fame. Cap Anson was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Ty Cobb was a real sweetheart. That guy is, you know, sharpening up his spikes, getting drunk, going into the stands. Beat up a guy in a wheelchair once. Ty Cobb beat up, I don't know if the guy was in a wheelchair, but the guy was physically disabled, and he was heckling Ty Cobb three rows back behind the dugout. Cobb went up there and, like, elbow, just gave this guy a forearm shiv right in the throat, just right up the Adam's apple. Some guy's sitting there like Stephen Hawking with a tube in his mouth. And he's trying to keep score with a tube coming out of his mouth. And Cobb goes, what did you call me? Boom! I mean, just a forearm right to the Adam's apple he gave this guy. And people have discussed Babe Ruth's life. And, of course, you get into football, Lawrence Taylor, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of guys off the field and even on the field. I mean, if you want, why is Ty Cobb in the Hall of Fame when on the field of play he went up into the stands and started going after guys with tubes in their mouths and guys that are sort of, you know,
my name's Steven.
Well, welcome to the ballpark, Steve. And they got to go up in the funny place where you sit, and they got to go up the special elevator and use that really big John. I mean, he went up in the stands, and he went after a guy. That guy's in the Hall of Fame. Well, Phil, that's not, you know, I mean, it's baseball is the rules of baseball. The rules of baseball prohibit players from going into the stands and giving a guy in a wheelchair and a shot to the Adam's apple? I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, the dude busted the rules. The dude ain't going to be in the Hall of Fame. That's the name of that tune. That's as funny as it gets, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I guarantee you this, Selig ain't going to overturn whatever. Was it Giamatti? God rest his soul. He's the guy that instituted the band. Selig ain't going to overturn that. Selig understands that he's a very popular guy. People love him. Had him out there on a ball field the other night. They were honoring the 50 greatest. And by the way, how is it that Roberto Clemente did not make that list is a crime, but we'll deal with that on somebody else's show. But the fact is, the fans honored him. The guy busted, huh? Faye Vincent was the guy that threw him out? Not Giamatti. Yeah, maybe you're right. No, Giamatti. And then he died. Bart Giamatti threw Pete Rose out of baseball, I believe, and then like a month later had the heart attack. So what do you do? What do you say? How does it go? Well, guess what? I don't go to the Baseball Hall of Fame to see any sweethearts in there. I'm looking for guys that played the game well. Played the game well and played according to the rules of baseball. Those are the guys that I'm going to want to go see. Cap Anson, all the rest of the dirtbags. Let me just see what he did on the ball field. That's all that counts. Pete Rose in the dugout there, in the field of play, within the general area of play, was busting the rules of baseball. The guy ain't going to be, and he ain't going back into baseball anytime soon. It's not going to happen. I don't think anybody really cares. People appreciate what he did on the field of play. Hard charging, great competitor, Charlie Hustle, knocking over that guy, was it Ray Fosse in the All-Star game back in the early 70s? Just about took Ray Fosse's head off with that charge to home plate. All of the wonderful things that he did, all of the hits that he hit. Busting Cobb's record and all that stuff aside, this cat, when the chips were down, push came to shove, guy's betting and probably losing. Who was he betting? He said he never bet against his own team, but he was laying some pretty heavy cabbage down in some of those games, and I don't think he was coming out smelling too good on those deals. I think he was walking out of there with his ass in his hands and a barrel around his waist, kind of like the Art Schleister. Do we remember this guy? He's still going inside for that stuff. That gambling problem, guys. Thank God I do not have that problem. Thank God I do not have any kind of an addictive personality. I have never in my life had any real problem with drugs, booze, throwing dice, nothing like that. Now, I ain't saying I haven't hit the ball out of the park a few nights, but I'm not, I don't need to take a tipple, man, before I walk in here. I don't have a bottle in the desk. Schaefer ain't saying to me, come on, Phil, slow down tonight, okay? Please, in the name of God, get out of here, son of a bitch. None of that problem. I've never had a problem with drugs. And that gambling thing, which is way beyond my realm of understanding. I love to play cards. I play poker, blackjack, fish, you name it. I love it. But I can walk away from the table, man, when I'm down to my shorts. Okay, I think we can just about wrap that up tonight. Phil, you still got your underwear on. No, that's great. What a great time. Thanks, guys. And I'm lousy. I love playing poker. I'm a horrible card player. I lose. Jeez. I pull out I peel off a few 20s. There it is. 60, 80, maybe 100 bucks. That's it for the night, okay? That's it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. Then I'm down to the last 20. I'm going, one of you guys spot me another 20? Can I pull light on this hand? Because I think I got the... Thank God I ain't got the problem. But the guys that do, man, you got to stay clear. I mean, way, way far away from that stuff, okay? I don't get it. And these dudes, I'm talking about 30, 40 G's in Vegas. I'm in Vegas with a friend of mine it was a few years back. He comes off a craps table. He's got a big, no, he was off a blackjack table. Big smile on his face. How'd you do? I dropped 10 grand. How? How do you do that? How do you have a pocket full of dollar bills amounting to 10 G's and not want to go out and do something else with it. I don't know what. How about a season box for a football game or something? Blow it on a stripper. Or let the stripper blow, Or go and put part of it down on a big luxury suite there for the with somebody's football or baseball or hockey season. 10 G's, I'm going to sit there with that clown smiling back at me with his little vest on and the pit boss standing there giving me a wink, and I'm dropping 10 G's inside of 30 minutes, and I walk away with a big smile on my face. Another G&T over here, please. What a ball. Hey, but guess what, man? You drop that 10 G's, they'll comp you at the buffet. Phil Hendry show here. Free what? Free grilled cheese. And you spell cheese C-H-E-S-S-E. That's free grilled Chessie here. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry here. We're waiting for the Braves to go down to defeat. We are looking at the New York Yankees. They have two outs to go. That's it. It's over. Is that it? Oh, no. That was a play to third base. I saw the pitcher run off the mound. I thought he was going to jump into the arms of Joe Torre to play to third base. It was a bunt. Is he out? In any event, baseball. Dodgers suck. Oh, foul tip. This is not a baseball town anymore, as you know. Los Angeles lost the feel. Somewhere, I know, because when I was doing the night show here in Los Angeles exclusively, before we went syndicated, we would regularly beat Dodger games in the ratings in the summer. I was on at night, and we would go up against the station that runs LA Dodger baseball, and we'd like double our audience. I mean, we would pound them, and I never thought, I would always believe that if we could just come close to the number the Dodgers are pulling, then maybe we could stay on the air and have like a career. And, nobody would run me out of town on a rail. I saw the first rating book that we lived through during a summer here, and we just destroyed the Dodgers in the ratings. I thought, my God, either people don't like baseball, or they just ain't listening to it on the radio anymore, or Vin just ain't what it used to be. I don't know what it was, but that summer we beat them like 2-1 in terms of audience. Because people just lost the feel for that game and the strike and all that other stuff. But, man, when I was a kid, that's all that I ever wanted to do, see, eat, sleep, crap, baseball, Dodger blue, all that stuff. And then, of course, along came the Braves and the Reds and all these other teams that made them look bad. And so we don't have any baseball here, but at least we're watching the game on TV from Atlanta tonight. Well, actually, from New York tonight, watching the Braves and Yanks as the Braves about ready to go down to, what is this, World Series defeat number 5. Here's a high fly ball to second base. 2 away. 2 down, 1 to go, and then we're going to be hearing... I think. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Did you see that guy in the airplane today, by the way? Here in Los Angeles, there was a guy whose throttle was stuck. And he happened to be in an airplane. And he was attempting to land at Van Nuys Airport, which is in the San Fernando Valley. And he was flying a little Cherokee, fixed-wing Cherokee aircraft with that front engine, the propeller. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the news, Channel 4 cuts to it. Here comes out number 3, by the way. Out number 3 coming up to drive out there to left field. He makes the catch. That's the end of the ball game, and it's the New York Yankees beating the Atlanta Braves for yet another time, second time this decade, as... Boy, does that sound dumb, and you're going to be hearing a lot of that in the next 24 hours. Guy standing out there in Brooklyn, the Bronx, wherever, going, boy, are they sounding dumb up there. They're getting dumber all the time. Don't worry about that. Everybody knocking the South, people are supposed to be stupid down there. People are supposed to be stupid out here. But boy, have you ever heard anything more dumb than... Sounds pretty stupid to me. Okay, Yanks, way to do it. So anyway, this guy is landing an airplane. He's attempting to land the airplane. The throttle stuck. So he is going full power, 120 miles an hour, they figured. Somewhere between 120 and 150 miles an hour, you can't land an airplane going that fast. You have to be able to power down a little bit and get this thing. Did you see this, Mike? It was on TV. They go, we have breaking news now. Let's go out there. Bob Pettit is there in the helicopter for Channel 4, and he's giving all of the aeronautic descriptions of what's happening. And this guy was as cool as a cucumber. He was circling the airport, and they said, well, what's he going to have to do? As you're looking at this guy going around Van Nuys Airport, the propeller is just spinning. I thought, man, if this guy's got the throttle is full on, that propeller's going to come flying right off the nose of that thing. And then we got ourselves a story. But anyway, this guy is flying, and they're theorizing as to, well, we don't know how experienced this pilot is. We don't know what he's going to do. This is a pretty heavy situation. This guy's going to have to make some circles. He's going to have to get his elevation down, get his altitude down. He finally dropped it down about 2,000 feet, and this dude brought this thing in for a landing. Well, the interesting part of this is he's got this thing stuck on full throttle. He's bringing this plane in for a landing. Now he's decided he's got to go for broke. It's all or nothing at all. He's going to have to land this thing, He drops his landing gear. He's doing this sort of circling, these 360-degree circles. He brings it around. He gets a bead on the runway. He starts to drop his elevation down, going like a bat out of hell, too. I don't know how fast you're supposed to be going when you're landing an airplane, but he's going like the throttle stuck, man. It's like all of those stories you hear, and forgive me, but it's generally involving a senior citizen. When they drive their car through the front of a McDonald's or a Jack in the Box, they say the throttle stuck. Never fails. Never fails when there is a senior involved in driving a car into a store. I'm not talking about a regular automobile accident, but you know, every now and again you hear about, well, there's a lady, she was 86, and she drove her car right into the showroom of Macy's. Well, what happened? Well, the throttle stuck. I see. Okay. There you go. The throttle stuck. You know, that thing to the left is a brake. Well, but they shifted the brake. It was supposed to be the brake. They made it the gas pedal. Oh, yeah, the brake's supposed to be on the right. Oh, so you went to depress the brake, and it was the gas. That's right. They screwed me up, man. I got to take this car back as soon as I pry it out of this guy's ass. Gremlins or something on the plane. You know, the lady, they busted her for driving her car into a bus bench, taking out about 600 people. And when she explains to the ossifer that it was actually gremlins in the engine, well, I can understand that. You know, it's people, they were screwing around in the engine block. Come on! I can understand that, ma'am. But this cat today gets a beat on a runway, full throttle. Every TV station in town is carrying this. And about, what was it, Mike, 50 feet off of the ground, he cut the engine and brought that baby in. I mean, you could see the propeller slow down and stop, so he cut the engine, brought it in for a gliding stop, and it was almost like he brought, not only did it land that thing beautifully on the runway, but that little turnout, he made that little turnout, turned it around, hit the brakes, boom, it was beautiful. It was a nice thing to see. I mean, when you're seeing guys blowing their brains out on a freeway, it's pretty nice, although I was hoping for a fireball, but it didn't happen. That's good. Of course you're sitting there hoping for some kind of a disaster, but I didn't know the guy. If I knew, I wouldn't, you know. No offense, sir, if you're listening, but come on. I'm sitting there 4:30 in the afternoon. There's nothing going on. Schaefer hasn't showed up yet. He's still eating that pizza that Carell and Andrew had catered in here, that stuff that looked like, or smelled like anyway, squid. Squid pizza. Good job. So there's nothing going on. We're waiting for that plane to burst into flames. I said, well, how about dumping the fuel, man? He says, you're out over houses. Where are you going to dump that fuel? Look, if it's me or some kid in a swimming pool, I take me. Dump the fuel. You're over a school. They'll live through it. It's okay. Guy landed that plane. Beautiful thing. And then when he got out, they found that the engine had been pulled away. It was a gremlin on the wing. Can you believe that? William Shatner popped out of that thing. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Наш полет включает Польшу. Я еще хочу упомянуть Чернобыль. And now, here's Phil.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to some phone calls here. Lancaster on the Phil Hendry Show. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing real good, Phil. How are you doing?
Great.
Hey, Phil, I don't know, I don't want to talk about baseball, but I've got them going nuts up here where I live in Lancaster. I got them going out of their minds. And, hold on, I got to talk to my wife. You got the door open. Yeah, I got them going nuts. I'll tell you, you were talking in your first hour because we were listening about, you're talking about Jesus getting cloned and all that. And I heard...
Who is there somebody distracting you?
Yeah, hold on. Let me close the door. I heard about lady who's on your show, but I want to tell you, I've got a very interesting situation going on right now where I live, which is north of Los Angeles here up Lancaster, up Santa Clarita Valley, and I've got some people up here absolutely going crazy on account of this situation developed my house.
What is going on? You're driving people crazy, huh?
Yeah, well, I took a... I didn't know this would do this, but what happened was I had positioned a glass. My wife collects these glass figurines that they're kind of a painted glass. And
you don't need to yell, sir. I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. They're kind of a painted glass.
Glass figurine, right.
Yeah, and I had positioned one of these glass figurines so it caught the sunlight coming through our bedroom window. We have a master bathroom with some of this frosted glass, I guess you've seen. On a window.
Right.
The figurine caught the sun's light. so that it reflected off the sun's light onto this window we've got in our bathroom, okay? And what it did is basically throw a reflection of a cross. Because I heard you talking about this clone Jesus thing. And you and I told my wife that I was going to call a couple of radio stations. And I wanted to call up KFI.
That's our Los Angeles affiliate. So you're listening to us on KFI in L.A.
Yes, sir. So I said that I would call you all up because I've got them going absolutely nuts. We've got a lot of migrant workers up here and a lot of blue-collar people. They're pretty religious people. What happened was that this cross on my bathroom window has got people believing that it's some kind of, or at least some of the people that we've had on the house, because I mentioned this to a couple of guys that work for me.
And what do you do?
Well, I'm sorry?
What do you do for a living, sir?
Sir, I'm a cabinet man. I do interior. I do cabinet work for kitchens. I do kitchen remodeling, that kind of thing. And I've got some guys working for me who are Mexican-American guys. Now, these guys go back and they tell their families that I've got this cross reflected on my window, and now they all think that this is some kind of a miracle or some kind of a vision from God. I've got them going absolutely out of their minds. I had 20 people come on Sunday. I had another 10 or 20 people.
What do you got going on there, man? So, in other words, you've got a reflection of the sun coming off of a glass figure eight?
Yeah, the sun comes through our bedroom window in the pretty much most of the day until late afternoon. And the way the sun reflects off of this figurine, it casts a reflection on the bathroom window, and it looks exactly like a cross with Jesus on the cross. Okay? And so I mentioned this to two of the guys who work for me, and they went back, told their wives, and all of a sudden these people, not the guys who work for me, but some of the people that they were talking to, think that we got a goddamn miracle going, a miracle going on at our house.
And so you've got people coming to your house there thinking that you've got a cross, thinking that Jesus is appearing on your bathroom window.
That's thinking that Jesus is appearing on my bathroom window, exactly. And I mean, that's to me, you talk about the gullibility of people.
That's not cool, man.
I'm sorry?
I don't think that that's cool. I mean, if you're taking advantage.
Well, these are simple people. I mean, we got a lot of Mexican migrant workers. We got a lot of some of these white, you know, what you call white trash or what have you, these blue-collar folks, ultra-religious people. These poor folks that come around, they want to believe in stuff like this. I got them, for the last 4 days, I got them going ape. And they're coming around here, and I tell you, if I wanted to, I could charge money on this thing.
That's not cool. I don't think it's funny. And I know that you called the program probably looking for my approval, but I don't think it's funny at all.
You know, there are a lot of people out there who want to believe in these miracles. They want to believe.
Yeah, there's a lot of those folks. There's a lot of these sightings. There's a lot of crosses and Virgin Mary sightings and everything else. And to me, that's just not cool.
I've heard you on your show before, Mr. Henry, and I have heard you say that people deserve it if they believe this stuff, okay?
Now I've never said that people.
Yes, you have. You said that you were talking one night about the.
So you listen to all of my bullcrap, huh?
I listen to you a lot, yes, sir. I got no problem with that. I think you're funny. I think you do some interesting shows. But you said one night.
I remember what I said. I said that anybody that believes Swaggart or any of these preachers, it's not Swaggart or Oral Roberts or whoever the new guy is, I don't know, whoever the cat on the hit parade is these weeks, it's not him so much as the gullibility of the people. I remember saying that.
All right, so if you believe that, then why is it wrong for me to have some fun? Okay, I'm not making any money. I'm just.
What is fun about seeing a bunch of poor religious people tramping to your front door? And how is this that we haven't heard about this?
It's only been going on the last 3 days, okay? I'm not exactly the kind of man who wants to get the newspapers involved or call people up, but I wanted you to know that this is, to me, this is better than a 4th of July picnic, as far as I'm concerned.
Because better than a 4th of July picnic, huh?
Yeah, it's funny, for Christ's sake. You got these people, and I'm going to tell you, you need to know a little bit about where I live. I live up in Santa Clarita Valley. We've got a lot of migrant farm workers up here. We've got a lot of folks up here who are very simple people. They don't have a real complicated life. They don't go out and do the boogaloo. They're not out you know, dancing and all that stuff. They're very religious people, and they have very simple lives, and they all come from the old country. They come from Mexico or someplace like that. So what you do is you run into these folks a lot. And I had this thing.
Did you do this on purpose?
No, I didn't do it on purpose. I noticed this.
So you saw the sun was hitting this glass figurine and reflecting a cross on the bathroom window.
I noticed it, yeah. And I told the two guys that work with me, I said, Jesus Christ, man, there's a cross on my goddamn window in the bathroom. And they're like, what's about with that? I said, hell, I think it's damn some goddamn miracle. Go tell the one guy that works for me named Robert. I said, Robert, go tell your grandma that Jesus is on Mr. Amarca's bathroom window. And I said it as a joke. Okay.
Not meaning to have anybody come over and see it.
No, I didn't make a matter to me. I said, this is a joke. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, there's a damn cross on my window. And he goes and tells his grandmother, well, next thing I know, I've got like 20 old ladies come to my door on Sunday. What's today? Today's Wednesday. I got another 20 or 30 of these old ladies and some of their kids coming out on Monday. And I got these sons of bitches coming from all over the county, and I got some coming up. I got a busload of nuns coming up tomorrow from L.A., okay? And that's L.A. Christ, you think they figure they know better down there.
So, I think it's playing with their emotions, and I think it's very, very wrong, okay? If you have simple people...
Well, you know, I think that is the pot calling the goddamn kettle black. You think...
What do you mean the pot calling the kettle black?
Yeah, you mess with people's minds all the time on your radio show. You mess with people's minds all the time, don't you?
I don't think it's the same thing, okay?
Why is it the same thing, okay? Well, you say...
Because I'm not tugging at their emotions. I'm not...
Oh, you know, no, not much you're not. Hey, listen, I've heard your show. You can have a couple of laughs. Why can't I? You're on a 50,000-watt goddamn radio station, and all I want to do is have a damn cross on my bathroom window, and you say that it's wrong.
And let's not yell at each other, okay? You're dealing with the emotions of people. You said it yourself. They're simple people. They're...
Well, that's not my problem, is it? That's not my problem.
You're getting a big kick and a big charge out of faking out all these simple people into thinking that you've got a cross. There's an apparition from God on your bathroom window.
Yeah, that's right. And I do not take responsibility for what people believe, okay? Now, I will tell you this. I'm not charging money.
No, but you're sitting there and you're chuckling at these poor people. What are they doing?
They're coming in. They're one old lady come in. She's, I don't know, Christ, she's about 75 years old. She kneels down in front of my goddamn bathroom window. And she's, and she crosses herself. And then she's doing, and then there's other people who are laying there and they're praying. I had one old lady lift the lid. You can't believe this. I had one old lady lift the lid on the toilet. And use the water in it like it's holy water to cross herself. Now, you've been into church.
Yes, I have. I've seen when you dip your hand into holy water.
Right, she's dipping her hand in the goddamn toilet. Now, you tell me that's not funny. You sit there and tell me that ain't funny.
It's not funny when it's being done to poor, innocent people, affecting their
Well, I think you're full of crap, sir.
I don't think that I am. I think that...
I've heard you on your program say that if you're gullible, you're gullible. It's your goddamn problem, okay? I've heard you say it time and again.
These are not people who come from our country. These are people who come from a very simple lifestyle. They get swept up into a very, very fast-paced society with every kind of con man lurking around the corner. You know, I just, for me...
And what you people on the radio, you lie all the time, and...
We lie all the time, yes, all the time we're telling lies here on the radio.
Well, you know what? Like I said, that's the pot calling the goddamn kettle black. Hello, pot, this is the kettle, you're black. And, you know, I think that it is an irresponsible thing for you to take that stand. I'm not charging money.
You've said about 5 times that you're not charging money, okay?
I could charge money. I got 20 of these old ladies coming in on Sunday. I got another 30 of them coming on Monday. I got a busload of nuns coming up here from L.A. tomorrow. I charge $10 a head. That's $200 to $300 a day. That's like $2,100 a week, 7 days a week. I'm sitting on my ass. I'm making $100,000 a year. about $100,000 a year.
So did you do the math real quick there in your head?
Yeah, I did the math real quick in my head. I'm just a dumbass sitting up here in Lancaster, but I'm, you know, just fooling around with people. You know, sir, you're a hypocritical asshole. You are.
Okay, pal, you want to call me a hypocrite? You can call me every name in the book. It seems to me that when you start messing around with people's religion like that, when you start...
And you people don't do that in the media.
Let me finish. When you start messing around with people's religion like that, with people who are simple people who are not familiar with the tricks, with the canard, with the fast shuffle, the flim-flam that this society can visit on some people, I think it's a little bit cruel, all right?
And I think what's cruel, Mr. Henry, is you passing yourself off as a sensitive soul when you let me ask you something. Do you ever tell a Jew joke? Did you ever tell a Jew joke?
No.
There you go. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I said I didn't.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. The bull crap that you...
Hold on the line here with your philosophies, okay? Guy's up in Lancaster. He's got some kind of a weird light reflection coming off of a figurine in his bedroom that's putting a cross on the glass in his bathroom. And he's got these people coming up and they think it's a miracle. And he thinks that's funny. You know, we hear about Virgin Mary apparitions, we hear about religious apparitions, all kinds of things going on, phenomena, this, that, and the other thing. This is a guy who's manufacturing one, and he thinks it's funny because all the Mexican migrant workers are coming and genuflecting and praying in front of it and dipping their hand in the toilet for holy water. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show here. This guy in Lancaster, you think it's a real riot there, huh, pal? That you're.
Yeah, I think it's funny, sir. That I've got, you know.
What? Let me tell people. You dummied up. You phonied up a cross reflection on your bathroom window at your house, so people think there's some people thinking it's a religious icon, huh?
There's some folks who live around us here in Lancaster. Yeah. Simple-minded people, they're Mexican folks, they work out in the fields, and they think it's Jesus who's visited my goddamn house.
And you think it's funny?
I think it's funny, yeah.
Okay, and then you're going to start charging money?
I didn't say that.
Well, you're talking about $2,000 a week.
I said I could. I got people, for as long as these people coming around. And
so are you kicking back, having a big giggle as these people are coming through the door?
Yeah, you know, they ring the doorbell. I say, yeah, and they go, we've come to see, my wife speaks Spanish, so I don't know what the hell it is to say, but to say something like, you know, we want to see what they call God in Spanish. I don't know what it is, Diego or Dios, I think it is. Want to see the Dios. And I said, yeah, goddamn Dios is right in the bathroom there. They want to see El Cruz, you know, that kind of thing.
All right. And it's funny.
Yes, sir, it is funny. And I'll tell you something right now. I employ a lot of folks. I go to their homes on the holidays, and I'm not a cruel man. There's not a cruel bone in my body. I just think these Mexicans are running around believing all this, Jesus is appearing on a bathroom window. It's a lot of crap.
All right, let me go to Los Angeles here on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, the gentleman that I'd like to ask him or want to know, does he believe in God?
Yeah, I believe in God.
Well, you know, first of all, he's not in the damning business. You know, say, God damn, you know. The devil is.
I think it's
kind of sad you be talking about. I'm Mexican. I don't believe in that crap like you say.
Right.
You know, because the Bible says ignorance, error comes from ignorance of the scriptures. And
right.
A lot of people, whether they're black, white, or Mexican, there's a lot of people that make mistakes.
Well, that's
right.
It's
not just Mexican.
Hey, look, I don't mean to say I got a vulgar mouth. My wife tells me that all the time. But you know a lot of these Mexican folks that come right up from Mexico.
Well, the majority, I'm Catholic, okay, but I read
right.
My Bible, and the majority of people, I gotta admit, in the Mexican community or Catholics do not know their Bible.
Well,
and they don't. I'm sad to say I'm not talking against my own people, but it's true.
Well,
and it's the fault of the priests out there in the churches, but not telling them the truth. They're
well,
not
the priests,
leading them to the truth.
All these priests play off of those superstitions?
Yeah.
Yes, They don't show them. They don't encourage them to read their Bible. They go according to their interpretation of it.
A lot of these folks that come up from Mexico, Phil, you got to understand, they mix all that Christianity with all that Indian stuff.
Pagan.
Yeah. You got to come to my house, dude. You'll laugh.
Well, I came out of that ignorance. There's a lot of Mexicans that are coming out of that false teachings.
That's right.
A lot of them.
I got to tell you something. You got to come to my house. You will laugh your goddamn ass off. I am serious.
But I'd also like to lead you to Christ, sir. If I go there, I want to lead you to Christ because you really need him.
Why do I need him?
You need him. You shall know them by their fruits, but the Bible says that.
So you agree with me.
You need to be born again, sir.
So you agree with me that he's making fun of these people.
Oh, yes.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No, you said that it was all right. I got him. You say you lead me to Jesus. I got him in my bathroom.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm making a joke, but I'm not doing anything
wrong. Well, whatsoever
wrong.
Man soweth, that shall he also reap. You've heard of that.
Laughter?
I'm sowing
laughter. What am I doing?
You're making fun of some poor folks who don't know any better.
He's sloshing around in my toilet right now. Look, I got these folks coming in. You come on. What's your name, friend? My name's Austin. What's your name?
Robert.
Robert, you come over to my goddamn house. You're going to see all these Mexicans coming in there praying to my bathroom window. You'll laugh your ass off.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Right.
I don't think I would laugh about it. I mean, I don't think it's...
That's
I mean,
what
you
I'm
think
there.
It as being something
a
funny.
A big joke. That's what
I
I'm talking
it's
about.
I think it's just ignorance, you know, but I don't think it's funny. Ignorance of the scriptures.
Well, you haven't seen it yet, though. When you see that first old
lady, I've seen it happen in Wilmington. I was there when a whole line of people were out there trying to see a reflection of a cross at this window. I was there preaching. I was telling the people there that what the scripture says.
You said it was bullcrap. You got up and said that's all bullcrap.
I just go up and be humble to them, and I start preaching to them, and they'll listen.
Yeah.
They'll listen. But they're going to listen if you're going to make fun of them and laugh at them. I got an idea.
I have an idea. Why not have Robert come up to your house?
And do what?
And talk to these folks and preach to these folks the Bible.
That's a good idea.
Wait. I got 20 nuns coming up tomorrow. You going to screw that up? Because if you start talking...
I'm talking about letting these people know the real... Robert has, he's a preacher, and he can let them know...
You're going to mess... I got 20 nuns coming up tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying, don't you?
Are you exploiting these people or what?
Exploiting them?
You want to make money out of them.
I'm not making any money. I'm saying you want to mess up my good time. Look at you. They think swimming around in my freaking toilet bowl like a turd after a good flush. I'm not going to have this going.
Okay. We got it already, all right?
Well, listen, Robert, you sound like a good man, but you're going to come up and start preaching to some of these Indians, and next thing you know, they ain't going to be coming around.
Well, just give me your address. I'll go over there.
All right. You got a pen?
Sure.
124 Fun Boulevard. F-U-N.
Fun Boulevard.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Where's Fun Boulevard?
It's in Lancaster.
Fun Boulevard.
Fun Boulevard. Yeah, it's a weird name, isn't it? Fun Boulevard. Now, I guess we're out of time. I was going to tell you what kind of car I drive.
Well, what kind of car do you drive?
Out of time.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Out of time.